Next on Gospel of Life, please join me for a special Christmas message. Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Father Frank Pavone, Director of Gospel of Life Ministries. Welcome to our program today, which is dedicated to a special reflection on the meaning of Christmas. And on behalf of all of our staff at Gospel of Life, we want to wish you and all your loved ones all the blessings of a happy and holy Christmas. Join me now as we listen to Luke's Gospel, the passage of the birth of Christ, the announcement of the coming of the Savior. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." Brothers and sisters throughout the world, these words of the announcement of the coming of Christ are being proclaimed, heard again, studied, and pondered in these holy days. And we come together again in the power of that word to celebrate Christmas. There was once a student who was asked to write an essay on Christmas. And in that essay, he said, "Christmas is the time when Christians welcome Christ." His teacher liked the essay very much, except that she asked him to change that one sentence and wanted it instead to read as follows: "Christmas is a time when people celebrate love." Now, one might ask, is that a change that really makes a difference? After all, aren't Christians people? And isn't Christ all about love? Well, it's certainly true that all Christians are people. But it is also true that not all people are Christians. And that's the point, that Christmas, with the coming of Christ, actually changes us. There's a difference between simply being a human being and being a human being who now shares in the new kind of life that the Savior comes to bring. Christianity is not just about people loving one another. It is about people being transformed in Jesus Christ, raised up to a new kind of life, which is now open to the world in a way that it was not open to it before Christ actually came. This is something that is often lost in today's understanding of Christianity, namely that a Christian has a different kind of relationship with God. By definition, we have the ability to believe, to hope, and to love in a way that actually transcends ordinary human capabilities. If a table began to speak, we would be astonished or we would think we were hallucinating, because tables don't have the power of speech. Neither do human beings have the power to know and love and serve God in the way that they do when the life of Jesus Christ is poured in them. And this is what Christmas does. It actually begins a new humanity. It inaugurates a new time in human history when we have unprecedented access to God. Is it a time when people celebrate love? Of course it is. But it is a time also when people are changed into sons and daughters of God, thanks to the fact that the Son of God has become one of us. For many centuries, God prepared his people to welcome the coming of his Son at Christmas. But in the prophecies of the coming of Christ, we read that the one who was coming was the Messiah of the Lord. Now, the word Messiah means the anointed one. If you say it in Hebrew, it's Messiah. If you say it in Greek, it's Christ. And in Scripture, one who is anointed has a special mission to carry out. Priests were anointed, prophets were anointed, kings were anointed. And so the anointed one would carry out God's mission of salvation for his people, would teach them ever more clearly his word, and would ultimately free them from sin and death. But as we just heard in that beautiful passage from Luke, when the angels announced on the first Christmas night that the Messiah of the Lord had finally come, that prophecy was fulfilled in a way beyond anyone's imagination. Because they did not simply say, "Born for you today in the city of David is the Messiah of the Lord." Listen again carefully to what they said. "Today in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you, who is Messiah and Lord." In other words, God did not simply send his messenger or send his anointed one. He came himself. This is the marvel, the mystery. This is the deep meaning of Christmas, that God himself showed up to carry out that work of salvation. When we see that child in the manger, we're not looking at an ordinary child. We are looking at the one who steers the stars in their courses, the one who created the universe, the one before whom we will stand to be judged one day. We are looking at the Lord of all creation and the judge of every nation. Born to you today is the Messiah and Lord. We are too important to God for him to simply send someone else. He himself jumps into our lives, jumps into our suffering, jumps in even to our death, and brings to us the life that we could have never achieved on our own. Christmas is indeed a time when Christians welcome Christ. And does Christ teach about love? In fact, Scripture teaches us God is love. But there's a difference between saying that at Christmas people celebrate love and saying that they welcome Christ. Because love has a content. It has a shape. There are certain things that are always demanded by love, and there are certain actions that are always prohibited by love. The fact is that you and I would not have the capacity to love one another or to love God were it not for the coming of this child. He's the one who gives us the power to love. He himself who teaches the world what the meaning of love is by dying on the cross. Love means I sacrifice myself for the good of the other person rather than sacrificing the other person for the good of myself. And it is only in the teachings of Christ that we can understand what the demands of love really are, and only in the grace of Christ living in us that we can find the power to love as God does. Now, there's something in the Christmas gospel, however, that should really give us cause to wonder. And it is that passage that there was no room for them in the inn. That should really make us ask some questions. Because after all, the one who was just born is God himself. The child who came made Bethlehem, existed before the earth. In fact, God prepared for his coming for many centuries, some 8 centuries before the birth of Christ. It was foretold that he would be born of the virgin. Some 5 centuries before it happened, it was prophesied by Micah that he would be born in Bethlehem. God was preparing for centuries for the birth of his son. And we're talking about God who owns the entire universe and fills its farthest parts in all their dimensions. All room belongs to God. How could there be no room for God in the inn? Obviously, this was something God did on purpose. It would be absurd to think that in all the preparations for the birth of his son, God forgot to provide a place, forgot to provide an inn. He didn't forget anything. He did this very much on purpose, and it was to teach you and me a lesson about what it means to welcome Christ and what it means to be a Christian. What God wanted to teach us by there being no room at the inn was that the world into which he was sending his son was a broken world. A world in which, in fact, people had forgotten to make room for God. A world in which they were rejecting him. From the very beginning, while Christ was still an infant, you will recall the prophecies that said that this would be a sign of contradiction. This child would be the cause for the downfall and the rise of many in Israel, a sign that would be opposed. Why? Because as John tells us in his gospel, this was the light coming into the darkness. And people preferred the darkness, and therefore they ran away, and they did not want to make room for this child. Yes, this was on purpose. And the lack of room at the inn reflects the lack of room in our own hearts to welcome the Lord Jesus. It is not to an inn in Bethlehem that he seeks to come today. It is to the inn of our own minds and our own hearts, our own lives, our own decisions, our own problems. Again today we welcome the Messiah and Lord. And we know that when we welcome him and live according to his teachings, there may be no room for us in many circles. There may be no room for us anymore in the eyes of many in the world who will ridicule us as they ridiculed him, mock us as they mocked him, and even crucify us as they crucified him. Today, we welcome the birth of a child who was God. In the passage just after the one I read for you, we read that the shepherds who received this angelic announcement made their way to Bethlehem to see what it was that the Lord had brought to pass. By the way, in this context, we might think for a minute of those who claim that they have no time to go to church. Can you imagine if you were present with those shepherds out in the field on that first Christmas night, and the angels appeared and brought this historic announcement? Can you imagine people there saying, or some of the shepherds saying, well, you know, I'm busy right now. I've got duties to perform here. I have sheep to tend to. I'm working. I don't have time to go to Bethlehem to see this thing that the angels just told me about. And so many of us, so many of our brothers and sisters, are so busy with the affairs of life that they don't have time to go to the feet of this child who is also a king. But the shepherds went, and Scripture tells us that when they went to Bethlehem, they saw Mary and Joseph and the child, and that when they saw the child, they understood at that moment what had been said concerning him by the angels. What does that passage mean? Why is it that when they saw the baby, they understood what the angels said, that this, in fact, was the Savior of all people, that this was a joy to be shared by the whole people? The answer is relatively easy. So many people believe in God, but they're afraid to come near him. They don't know how to approach him. They think this is the God of the universe. He is an almighty, unapproachable being. He lives in inaccessible light. Who are we to even dare to think that he's paying any attention to us? When the shepherds saw a little child, they understood how he could be the Savior for all people, because a baby is so approachable. When we see a baby, we're drawn to that child. We don't shrink away in fear. We don't run away in horror. We don't tremble. We run towards them to embrace them, and we smile. God is trying to say in the birth of this child, you have no reason to be afraid of me. Come to me. I want to share with you my life. Christmas is God in human language. Some people wonder, what really is the meaning of life? What is the difference between right and wrong? What does God want us to do in this life? And what happens to us after death? And these are all key questions of life. The Christian who welcomes Christ at Christmas no longer has to wonder about the answer to these questions. We realize that in Jesus Christ, we have the answer to these questions. We know God is on our side. And as we welcome the child, we're welcoming the one who's going to preach the Sermon on the Mount. We're welcoming the one who's going to teach us all the parables. We're welcoming the one who answers the question, what happens after we die? We're welcoming the one who teaches us, even more deeply and clearly than the Ten Commandments, what is right and what is wrong and what God expects of us in this life. Christmas is not just about welcoming the child. It is about welcoming the preacher who said that we are to forgive even our enemies. It is about welcoming the one who healed the sick and the lame and the blind. Welcoming the one who taught the lesson of the Good Samaritan and said, go and do the same. Welcoming the one who said, don't be attached to your possessions, renounce them instead, and seek the kingdom of heaven above all things, even above your affection for mother and father and spouse and children and your own life. Christmas means welcoming the whole Christ, the whole gospel, all the gifts that he brings. It means welcoming his Holy Spirit. It means welcoming the gift of baptism and communion. It means welcoming the Christian community of which he makes us a part. He doesn't ask us to seek him just by ourselves or in isolation. He puts us into a community where we have one another and we need one another and we seek him together. Christmas means welcoming the gift of his word and Holy Scripture and meditating and pondering on that gift always. This Christmas, be sure to open all your Christmas gifts, not just to welcome the baby in Bethlehem, but welcome the one who died on the cross and rose again from the dead. We can't separate any part of the message of Christ or of the gifts he brings from any of the others. He is one, and we're called to welcome him in his totality. My brothers and sisters, today and in these days, we wish the gift of Christmas peace to all those whose lives are marked by strife and division, all those who live in war-torn parts of the world, that the peace of Christmas may be theirs. Let's pray together in these days for Christmas plenty to those who go without proper food or housing or employment, those who are lacking in any of this world's goods. We pray for the gift of Christmas joy to those who during these days are mourning, are lonely, are sorrowful and sad. We pray for the gift of Christmas love for those who are forgotten or marginalized or abandoned. This season of Christmas brings us to realize that each and every human being has been redeemed by Christ, and that when we welcome Christ, we welcome all those whom he loves. We cannot welcome Christ, the head of the body, and reject his members. Welcoming this child means welcoming one another. Welcoming this child means welcoming those that we don't like. Welcoming those even who have hurt us. Welcoming those who are oppressed. In the beautiful hymn, O Holy Night, there is a verse which says this: truly he taught us to love one another. His law is love, and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. All those who are oppressed in our world, the Christ child comes to free. And he comes to empower us to love them. We think of those who are oppressed by economic imbalances and political regimes that are not allowing them the full dignity of their own lives. Christ came not only to console the poor, but that those who are poor would be poor no more. And we are called to reach out to those who lack in this world's goods and share with them the goods God has given us that are destined ultimately for everybody. All those who are oppressed, any form of slavery, any form of discrimination, prejudice, hatred, chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother. These aren't strangers who are suffering these things. These are your brothers and sisters and mine. And then the most oppressed of all, the children still in the womb. We at Gospel of Life Ministries advocate for these children. We exist for the purpose of setting these children free from oppression. And today, my prayer is that as we celebrate Christmas and we welcome the birth of a child, we recommit ourselves to bringing these children to birth. The unborn children are the only category of people in our society who are declared to be non-persons. And they're destroyed at the rate of some 4,000 a day in the United States alone. Christmas is the time to rededicate ourselves to protecting these who have no defense, who have no voice but ours. In his name, all oppression shall cease. We at Gospel of Life wish you a Merry Christmas. And the meaning of Merry Christmas, my friends, is not that everything is going our way. It doesn't mean necessarily that we're going to feel happiness. It doesn't mean that we have everything we need or that all our relationships are in good order. Because in fact, things may be going very badly for our relationships, our finances, or any other aspect of our lives. But even then, we can still have a Merry Christmas. Because ultimately, Merry Christmas means you and I have access to God. Nothing can take that away. Only our own sins. And therefore, we make our prayer what that song, O Little Town of Bethlehem, says in the verse, O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. O come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. The bells will ring, the hymns will be sung, the gifts will be open, the children will laugh, you and I will be blessed. Because Christmas is not just a time when people celebrate love. It's a time when we as Christians welcome Christ, the only hope of the world. Merry Christmas.
When I found out I was pregnant, I thought I would lose my job.
My boyfriend told me to choose between him and the baby.
I was already struggling to care for one child, so I had an abortion.
I had trouble conceiving again.
I tried to commit suicide.
I started to have nightmares.
You see, abortion didn't solve our problems.
It just created different ones.
That's why we are silent no more.
We found help in Hanley, and you can too. Call or go online today.
Do you realize that every 23 seconds a baby is killed by legal abortion in this country? But you know, you can do something to save those lives. At Gospel Life Ministries, we have a bulletin insert called You Can Save Someone's Life Today, and we make this available absolutely free for your church. And it doesn't matter how many bulletins you print. Suppose you print 1,000, 2,000, we'll send it to you free. And in this insert, You Can Save Someone's Life Today are the resources that you need to reach out and help a girl. Suppose you hear of a girl who's pregnant and in need. We have the hotline numbers where that girl can receive help right in her own community. And we're talking about medical expenses paid, a place to live if necessary, job opportunities. She doesn't have to feel that her only way is to go to an abortion mill. And also, if you know someone who is hurting from an abortion, we want to bring them back to the healing and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this bulletin insert are the ministries there, toll-free numbers that are waiting in open arms to receive her back to help and healing. And in addition, you can inform your church community about facts about abortion. And then finally, You can get involved. You can help us and join hands in saving those lives, because in this bulletin insert are action items so that everybody can help save a life today. Thank you. Call us at our toll-free number.
I'm Dr. Paul Shank. Gospel of Life Ministries, Priests for Life, and the National Pro-Life Action Center are ready, willing, and able to come to your church, conference, convention, prayer group, Sunday school, or pro-life event. Dynamic, seasoned, and experienced speakers, teachers, and presenters are available. Renowned leaders such as Father Frank Pavone, National Director of Priests for Life and President of the National Pro-Life Religious Council, Dr. Alveda King, the niece of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and Janet Morana, Associate Director of Priests for Life and co-founder of the Silent No More Awareness Campaign, together with pastoral associates Dr. Teresa Burke, the founder of Rachel's Vineyard, and her husband Kevin Burke, counselor and social worker, Jim Pinto, pro-life pioneer, and our clergy, Reverend Dennis Wild, Reverend Peter West, and Reverend Walter Quinn, are prepared to preach and teach in your church about how to end the tragedy of abortion, minister to those suffering from abortion, help train and organize your pro-life group, lead retreats, and much, much more. To schedule a speaker in your area, call the Speakers Bureau at 888-735-3448, extension 258, or email us at speakers@gospelOfLife.com. The waiting is over. The time for action is now. Schedule an inspiring speaker for your area.
Prayer is essential to everything we do as Christians. The Lord Jesus said, "Without me, you can do nothing." That's why we at Gospel of Life have launched a national prayer campaign to end abortion. We've composed a simple prayer that you can say each and every day. And that prayer is available at prayercampaign.org on the internet. You can say this prayer with your family. You can bring it to your pastor. Some pastors, in fact, have placed this prayer in the church bulletin or on the inside of their parish hymnals. In whatever way you can promote this prayer, you'll be adding more and more believers to this great campaign to ask the Lord to bring an end to abortion in America and to commit ourselves to do what He wants us to do to achieve that goal. Join the National Prayer Campaign to End Abortion at prayercampaign.org. Thank you.
I hope you've been encouraged and challenged today. If you and others you know, perhaps a prayer group, Bible study, Sunday school, or pro-life group, want to know more about Gospel of Life and how people of faith united together can build the culture of life, call us at 888-735-3448. Visit us on the web at www.gospelOfLife.com or email us at info@gospelOfLife.com. You can write to us at Gospel of Life, P.O. Box 60038, Staten Island, New York, 10306.